Welcome to the 500th episode celebration of Railbird Central. We'll be welcoming Peter King of Sports Illustrated's MMQB and Green Bay Packers cornerback Casey Hayward onto the show. And with the Packers signing wide receiver Randall Cobb and quarterback Scott Tolzien over the weekend, there's no shortage of things to talk about. It's all coming up on Cheesehead TV next. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking some free agency, and we're celebrating the 500th episode of our show. To do that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning to kick things off, Peter King of Sports Illustrated's MMQB. Mr. King, how are you this morning?
Doing great, Brian. How are you doing?
Very good. We're glad you could join us. There's a lot to get to. The news over the weekend was that Packers wide receiver Randall Cobb agreed to a four-year, $40 million deal. Did it surprise you at all that he accepted less money to stay in Green Bay?
No, I think it's a good common sense decision, because if you look at, say you're Randall Cobb, and let's say for the sake of argument that, and I'll pick a team, the Oakland Raiders, which I knew was interested in Cobb. If they offer him, let's say, $5 to $8 million more over the life of a contract, it's not that if you're Randall Cobb, you can't have a good career in Oakland. It's not as if you're Randall Cobb that you can't put up some good numbers in Oakland. But I think two things, you know, come to mind when you talk about where the Green Bay Packers are right now. If you're talking about playing with one of the great quarterbacks of his day, maybe the best quarterback, you know, in the next 5 to 8 years in the NFL, as well as having a chance to win every year. Now, you go to Oakland, you've got to take a leap of faith that they're going to start winning. That leap of faith, people have been taking it for the last 12 years and they haven't won anything. So, you know, this is a franchise, you know, in Green Bay that, you know, you're going to contend. You're going to be able to play for something every December, most January. So I think Cobb made the right call. And clearly it's a personal decision. There are some people who would have pushed the envelope and tried to make as much as they can right now. And hey, all the more power to them. But I thought it was a good decision for Cobb, and certainly it's a good decision for the Packers.
Do you think there's any significance that Cobb surpassed Jordy Nelson as the higher-paid player between the two in terms of average salary, seeing as Nelson paid his dues longer, getting his big money in his third contract, whereas Cobb got his money in just his second contract in the NFL?
See, I think you have to ask yourself a couple of questions on that. You know, the salary cap in the NFL has gone up $20 million since 2013. You know, this is a growth business right now. And I think if you compare contracts, you have to compare the time that the contracts were signed. You know, compared to last year at this time, there's no question that, you know, Jordy Nelson, for instance, you know, would naturally have a little bit lower value compared to 2015 dollars, just because the cap has gone up. So I really don't think it's that big a deal. And I think that you have to ask yourself another question. If you don't do this with Randall Cobb, if you say, well, we're not going to pay him more than the average that Jordy Nelson made, I think you have to accept the fact that there's a very good chance then he probably would have left.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, do you want to draw a line in the sand and we're not going to go ahead of Jordy's 9.5 or whatever the number is, average. I wouldn't do that if I were Ted Thompson, and I think it was a smart move that he didn't do it.
Also this weekend, quarterback Scott Tolzien re-signed with the Packers, but it was just a one-year deal. If you could read between the lines here, what does the length of the contract say about Tolzien and his future with the Packers?
Just that the Packers probably haven't seen enough out of him to commit to him for any length of time. I'm sure that there still is. I mean, look, even though it's been fashionable to bash Matt Flynn, you know, I know a lot of Packer fans who do that. Matt Flynn has played in several big games, and he's played exceedingly well at times, not all the time, but exceedingly well at times. Packers really have no idea if Scott Tolzien can play exceedingly well, you know. So I think this is just a, you know, basically what they're saying is, kid, you know, we like you. You've shown a lot of promise. We really want to have you on this team, but we're not going to commit to you because we just don't know yet.
We're talking to Peter King's Sports Illustrated, Sports Illustrated's Peter King, here at Cheesehead DV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Mr. King, a year ago, the Packers made a decision naming Brian Bulaga their right tackle and David Bakhtiari their left tackle. I thought it was kind of an ingenious idea at the time because the Packers kind of could see Brian Bulaga heading to free agency and basically kind of capping his earning potential a little bit by making him a right tackle. Do you think there's any teams out there willing to pay Brian Bulaga left tackle type of money?
Well, if you mean $10 million a year, that would surprise me because he has missed a year and a half out of the last three due to injury. But he's coming off a season where he was sturdy. And, you know, in my opinion, I think Packers would be really smart to sign him. Now, again, it all comes down to how much they're willing to pay him. I heard over the weekend that Aaron Rodgers was, or at some point recently, that Aaron Rodgers was advocating for the Packers to re-sign him, you know, with either the front office or coaching staff. So clearly, he's got some friends in high places who want him to remain a Packer. But, you know, I looked over the list of teams that have more. There's 11 teams that entered the weekend with more than $30 million of cap room. You got the Jacksonville Jaguars with a major need there with over $60 million in cap room. And so, you know, you look at all that and you basically say, there are going to be teams out there with a need at the tackle position who are willing to roll the dice, because if they don't roll the dice, then the only place they can solve their tackle problems is through the draft. And teams like Jacksonville, they've got a lot of things to solve. So that's where I think it becomes tricky. And if you're Ted Thompson, you probably say, look, I'm going to go to a certain number for Bulaga. But if he gets beyond that, if somebody offers him $9 or $10 million a year, we're going to have to let him go. And I think that's probably the position they're in right now.
The Packers have a pair of cornerbacks headed for free agency, Tremont Williams and Devon House. What do you think free agency holds for these two players?
I think the Packers are going to try very, very hard to get House re-signed. And they're probably, even though they still really like Tremont Williams, you know, he's an older guy, he's over 30 now. Would not be at all surprised to see Williams resume his career the same place where he played his last game, in Seattle. I know the Seahawks have high regard for him, and obviously John Schneider knows him exceedingly well. And again, there will be other people who look at Tremont Williams. He's such a good professional. I really, really like Tremont Williams. But again, if you're going to pay one guy, you probably say we got to pay House. He's the younger guy. He's got a load of potential, and we think he could be a solid, you know, very above average NFL corner for the next 5 years.
Mr. King, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. Just one last question before you go. In your over at the MMQB a week or so ago, you released a top 15 mock draft. If you were to extend it to the end of the first round, what do you see the Packers doing?
Ted Thompson has always done a great job in basically saying that unless the grades are very, very close, I'm going to take the best player at the, you know, at that point in the draft. But I think, and don't ask me which one, but I think he'll be looking at this point at the end of the first round, you know, toward the end of the first round. I think that's about where you're going to see some value at both the tight end and sort of the second echelon of offensive tackles. And I would not be at all surprised if he went in one of those two directions in the first round.
Very interesting. Surpassing even inside linebacker.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's no question that there's the ability to get one, and that's the exact place where you get one. I just think the need is probably going to be a little bit stronger on the offensive line or a tight end. Plus, you know, and again, I don't really follow college football during the season. I just get to know it after the season. But right now, it looked to me at the combine that there were a load of those second, third, fourth round inside linebackers that they'd be able to get.
Very interesting. Thank you, Mr. King, for taking the time to talk to us this morning. We appreciate it very much, and take care.
All the best, Brian.
All right, thank you. Peter King of Sports Illustrated's MMQB joining us here at Cheesehead TV on a Monday morning. Thanks to him for joining us. Obviously, he's a busy person, so definitely appreciate his time. And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us here on our 500th episode. I'm so glad that we could celebrate this here together. Glad I could reach this milestone. But let's continue our Packers discussion. It's time for
Packers News of the Day.
The Green Bay Packers agree to a new contract with wide receiver Randall Cobb reportedly over the weekend. I haven't seen anything official yet announced by the NFL's transaction wire or the Packers themselves acknowledging this. Perhaps it's only a matter of time. But Randall Cobb making an average of $10 million a season. Again, I mean, we got to see the exact numbers here when they come out. This hasn't been made official yet or anything like that. But if I could, you know, kind of toot my own horn for a moment here, I wrote a column this past November. I keep referencing it, titled "Don't Worry, Randall Cobb Isn't Going Anywhere." And maybe the "don't worry" part is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, or just the fact that maybe back in November, I didn't realize at the time how much people would worry. There was definitely a point where you got worried over the past week or so, maybe the past 2 weeks, that Randall Cobb may have been possibly thinking about going elsewhere in free agency, taking the money from the highest bidder. But the point of that column, if you go and read it, I don't think you can argue with it, in that general manager Ted Thompson, who we spoke about at length here with Peter King, Ted Thompson simply doesn't allow his good young talent entering free agency for the first time to leave. Now that's quite a, you know, a mouthful there. It's not like he doesn't let free agents leave. But what he does is he identifies the best young players entering free agency for the first time. You know, that there's a difference there. Now, Tremont Williams, he's entering free agency for the third or even fourth time, kind of the beginning of his career. I'm not sure. There might have been a few times where he was cut and was a street free agent. But regardless here, you know, players like Randall Cobb and now upcoming Brian Bulaga and a few more, these are guys hitting free agency for the first time with the, you know, expiration of their rookie contracts. And Ted Thompson just, you know, identifies these guys and says, these are the type of guys we're going to build around. We're going to lock up. These are the guys the draft and develop philosophy exists for. Not exclusively then, I mean, but, you know, anybody who's young, up and coming, the Packers want to continue ties with for the most part, by and large. They want to extend them and continue their development. Kind of the maybe if you look at, you know, Ted Thompson's history, his tenure in Green Bay, the players he's allowed to leave with the expiration of their first contract, the best players Ted Thompson has seen walk away are now here's the list of the best players Ted Thompson is allowed to walk away. And you're probably talking about Matt Flynn and Darren College. That these are the best players Ted Thompson is allowed to walk away with their first shot at free agency. And I think you can agree, while you can make the argument that Matt Flynn and Darren College are good players, they're certainly not elite players. Now we're kind of waiting on, you know, who's next year? Who are the Packers going to sign next, or who's next to go? And kind of the guys you're looking at are Brian Bulaga and Devon House. And should either of these players leave, these would be the guys who would be the best players Ted Thompson has probably allowed to leave. So I think the Packers are going to work very hard to sign Brian Bulaga. I think he will come back. The one I'm not sure about is Devon House. He's the iffy one. Because if indeed the Packers sign Brian Bulaga, you know, in addition to Randall Cobb, in addition to Scott Tolzien, all of a sudden that salary cap space is going to constrict rather considerably. Not to say they're not going to have any money left, but, you know, after signing these three players and you know, they're still going to sign a few more who are going to, you know, end up inking the dotted line for a little bit less money when you're talking about maybe fullback John Kuhn and others on the Packers roster, the defensive linemen like B.J. Raji, LaTroy Guyon. You know, that salary cap space is going to shrink here. And so I really don't know what's going to happen with Devon House. That's going to be the tough one. We'll come back to him later in the show here as we continue this episode of Railbird Central, but kind of continuing the discussion about Randall Cobb. He reportedly accepted less money elsewhere, but he'll end up staying with Aaron Rodgers. You have to imagine Randall Cobb has not yet commented publicly. I'm not sure. Maybe he took to social media or Twitter or something like that. If he did, I missed it. But in terms of, you know, taking questions from the media or anything like that, Randall Cobb has not yet. But have to imagine the prospect of sticking with Aaron Rodgers, and not just him, but a competitive football team in general, had to be at the top of his list. So he'll do that. And what this really does is it kind of keeps the Packers' top three receiving trio in Green Bay for at least the next 3 years here. Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, Devontae Adams, not just them. I mean, if you want to, you can throw all the Packers draft picks from last year into the pile too. Jared Aberderis, Jeff Janis. I mean, this group here, it's possible, depending on, you know, things like health and how they develop for some, definitely for some of the younger guys, how long they can stick around and things like that. But I mean, regard the top three, this is a good core. I mean, if you're looking at the Super Bowl window, and as Aaron Rodgers is getting in a little bit of an advanced age here, you got to assume the Packers have until basically the expiration of his contract to start making hay here and winning a Super Bowl, if not Super Bowls, you know, in this next, you know, 3-4 year window where these guys are all together. I mean, health is always the big thing. You can never predict when a player is going to suffer a season ending injury or a lengthy one or whatever, but at least, you know, you can very much expect, you know, Aaron Rodgers to be very productive hitting this trio of receivers here, and supplemented by a tight end and a few other guys, that this is going to be a very, very good offense for the next few years. Throw running back Eddie Lacy in the mix too. This is This is the core. This is the group that the Packers are building around here. And you can tell definitely offense is at the forefront of their minds. Defensively has always kind of been their Achilles heel under Mike McCarthy. Comparatively, it's always been offense that's been at the forefront. You'd like to see the defensive side improved a little bit, but you can't argue with the offense the Packers have built over the last several seasons, and it's just going to continue to be that way. It's, you know, perennially a top 10 offense under Mike McCarthy. I don't see that changing anytime soon. Not at all. I mean, we're talking top 5 offense. We're talking a top 1 offense at some points. You know, the Packers were the top scoring team in the entire NFL this past season, and it could certainly continue to trend that way for the Packers for the foreseeable future, we'll say about that. Also in the news over this past weekend, quarterback Scott Tolzien gets a one-year deal reportedly worth $1.35 million, first reported by Bill Huber of Packer Report, and then, you know, subsequently followed by others. But, basically, I think what this deal signifies is that the Packers are not paying Scott Tolzien to be a number 3 quarterback anymore, not at $1.35 million. You can get cheaper than that for a third quarterback, basically. Any quarterback drafted outside the first round, more or less, maybe after the second round, is going to make less than that. But kind of on a related note here, the report from Tom Silverstein of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who had it first, the Packers are also apparently not bringing back Matt Flynn this season. He is also a pending free agent as well. And it doesn't look like as if the Packers are going to re-sign him. I personally wonder if the Packers might change their mind on that. Just taking a look at the NFL draft and looking at this year's crop of quarterbacks. I mean, because basically, you know, I don't think the Packers are going to go into the year with you know, Scott Tolzien and only Scott Tolzien, you know, on their roster. Obviously, they'll bring in someone, at minimum, they'll bring a undrafted free agent, a camp body. But you have to think that the Packers are going to want to push Scott Tolzien a little bit. They don't just want him to get, thinking the job is his. They're going to want to bring in competition. But the problem is this year, 2015, it's a really shallow group of quarterbacks, and especially so after, you know, what people consider the top 2, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. And I kind of think it's maybe the top 1. If I'm an NFL general manager, I am scared as heck to make Jameis Winston the face of your franchise and a top draft pick. I personally would not do it. I would not make that guy a top draft pick. I would pass on. I would address another position with another good player and pick somebody else up later. If you're a poor team and you're going to have a high second round draft choice, and I would rather roll the dice high in the second round on a player like Brett Hundley of UCLA, Brace Petty of Baylor, etc., Garrett Grayson of Colorado State. I would rather have those guys than Jameis Winston, just because I think you're investing too much money into a big question mark there. That's the way I feel. I think I'm in the minority. I've kind of gotten off topic about where I've gone with from the Packers quarterback situation to a greater NFL topic here. But, the point being here is you're talking about guys, though, beyond the top 2 in this quarterback class that are going to be projects. I'm not even sure the Packers will have a chance or whether they'll be willing to address, you know, a day 2 draft pick into one of these quarterbacks I just mentioned, Brace Petty, Garrett Grayson, Brett Hundley. Are the Packers going to want to spend a second-round draft choice on this when they still, you know, could get another player at another position, things like that? I'm not sure if that would be the case or not. So if you're just talking about late-round additions to the quarterback position or undrafted, you know, how much are these guys really going to push Scott Tolzien? I wonder if all of a sudden the draft is over and the Packers don't like the way the draft fell to them, you know, might they then consider bringing Matt Flynn back, you know, just kind of a just-in-case scenario, maybe not saying that he's even going to make the 53-man roster, but carrying him through training camp, because just in case all of a sudden either Aaron Rodgers or Scott Tolzien suffer an injury, either one of them, now at least you've got Matt Flynn in reserve if you think about him, you know, bringing him back. Not to say that Matt Flynn will even be around if you wait until after the draft. Obviously, he's now free, or at least he will be tomorrow when the start of free agency begins. Matt Flynn will be, you know, free to sign anywhere he wants at all. He doesn't have to re-sign with the Packers, and you got to think that maybe he's going to get interest somewhere. I'm not saying, you know, Matt Flynn's going to get interest as a starting quarterback anymore, maybe not even as a number two, but you think maybe somewhere one of the other 31 other NFL teams would consider him being a number, competing for the number two job, or, you know, as their number three, perhaps if they don't have a whole lot of confidence in their number two or things like that. So, Matt Flynn may not be around until after the NFL draft anymore, but I just wonder if the Packers, you know, may not really be closing that door. We heard last week that they weren't closing the door necessarily on A.J. Hawk either, although apparently A.J. Hawk is getting interest on the free agent market. He's apparently visiting the Cincinnati Bengals today. Another report says the Minnesota Vikings, of course, the Minnesota Vikings, are interested, as they have been, seems like, with a lot of former Packers players as of the last decade, with guys like Brett Favre and Darren Sharper and Ryan Longwell, and more recently Greg Jennings and Desmond Bishop and just Brandon Bostic going there. I know he was a waiver wire pickup, but just appropriate, isn't it, that the Minnesota Vikings have expressed interest in A.J. Hawk. Again, getting back to the point here, Packers apparently, at least according to Bob McGann of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, haven't closed the door on A.J. Hawk. You know, should the draft roll around and they, maybe the inside linebackers that they liked didn't fall to them or things like that, they could consider bringing him back. I don't know whether they will or not. You know, same thing with Matt Flynn here. I think the Packers kind of tipped their hat the moment they kept Scott Tolzien on the 53-man roster last season. I think they indicated he'd be back this year. Otherwise, why would you have kept Scott Tolzien on the roster as your number three quarterback basically all last year? The Packers, without saying it, basically said, we're going to continue to develop him, and we're going to keep him around, and he could be our future number two, and it very much looks like he could be this year. I think Scott Tolzien has a bright future. I think he's developing, and I think he's continuing to get better. And it's very possible Scott Tolzien could be a hot commodity in free agency next year, depending on how the season plays out. If he continues to play well, if he does well in preseason action, the action he does get in the regular season happens to be good, it's quite likely he could very much be doing that. But anyway, it's 8:30. We're going to take a break here. As I've alluded to before, we have a special guest joining us. We're going to be calling Packers cornerback Casey Hayward is going to be our guest as we continue our 500th episode celebration of Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central here. Hang on, folks. I'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central as we celebrate our 500th episode. We have joining us now on the phone a very special guest, Green Bay Packers cornerback Casey Hayward.
Expert interview.
Mr. Hayward, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing swell. How you doing?
Very good. We're glad to have you join us on the show. Let's start things off by getting your reaction to hearing that your teammates Randall Cobb and Scott Tolzien have agreed to contract extensions with the Green Bay Packers. What was your reaction to hearing that?
Exciting. I know Randall, one of my good friends on the team, so I'm excited for him. I'm excited that he got paid, and I'm definitely excited that he's came back to the team because he's one of the better wide receivers in this league. Because I see how hard he works, and I've seen him the last 3 years, all the work he put in. You know, with Scott, I know Scott as well. He's a great guy. You know, and I know he's been working hard to get that backup role behind A-Rod, and not just backup role. You know, I've just been seeing him progress as a player, and I've seen the steps he's taken as well. You know, since he's been there, since the last couple of years that I've actually gotten to see Scott.
I'm guessing you faced off against Randall Cobb in practice quite a bit over the past 3 years. You know, where does he where does he stack up against other NFL wide receivers you've faced, particularly the slot guys?
Oh, he's one of the top, man. You know, that's why they paid him like that. He's one of the top. I don't think any other slot guy, you know, will get paid like he got paid. And you can tell he makes our team that much better. And I'm glad that he's back. Not too many people can do the things that he can do. He's versatile. You can put him in a running back. You can put him in a slot. You can put him outside. But I don't just classify him as a slot guy. I just call him a football player because that's what he is. He can line up anywhere. And I just remember those days when he was at Kentucky. I got to play against him 3 years, and he was one of those type of players there.
He's definitely a football player. I don't mean to classify him as just a slot, but you're right, most definitely. You have a lot of history with him. This has to be a weird time for you with your teammates Tremont Williams and Devon House scheduled to become free agents tomorrow. What's your frame of mind knowing that these are your friends, the guys you go to war with on Sundays, but at the same time, you move up the depth chart if they leave? What's your frame of mind at this time of year?
My frame of mind right now, I'm happy for these guys, get an opportunity to be a free agent. With House, he hasn't had the big payday. Yeah, so I'm definitely happy for him, for him to go out there and be able to get money, So I talked to him yesterday, wished him good luck on everything. So I'm definitely happy for him there. Tremont, he's still playing at a high level. So I'm definitely happy for him. I know what kind of player he is. I'm not just a player. Those guys are great people. So I'm definitely happy for them. And me, I'm not really worried about the depth chart. Excuse me. I'm not really worried about the depth chart at the moment because I know what kind of player I am. And whoever's in that locker room who's not, I'm just going to compete. And I feel like my role is going to be to start. And I don't care who's in that locker room or who's not. I just know my comfort and what kind of player I am and the work I've put in the last 3 years.
You said you talked to Devon yesterday. I mean, is he saying he's leaving? Did he give any indication whether he knows he'll come back or not?
I didn't get into any statistics with him. I just wished him good luck. And, he said thank you. I told him, tell his wife, I said hello. And then he was just like, I hope I'm back with you guys. But we'll see how it goes. And, you just never know with these things. So hopefully he's back, and if he's not, I wish him the best of luck and all the things that he got going for. He's a good player, and not just a good player. For that, he's a great person.
We're talking to Packers cornerback Casey Hayward here at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Casey, let's talk about you a little bit. according to the website ProFootballFocus.com, you were the number one cornerback in the NFL in the slot this past season, allowing the highest ratio of targets and receptions per snap in coverage in the entire league. It's one of those obscure advanced statistics, but I do think it's impressive that you led the entire NFL in this category. First of all, were you aware of this?
I've seen that, but during the season I wasn't aware of that. But like I said, I know what kind of work I put in, and I know what kind of player I am, especially not in the slot. I'm one of the better slot corners in this game. And I just thought, but I want to advance my game and, you know what I'm saying, play outside as well, because I know what type of player I am. So at the end of the season, you know, Coach Getz, you know, gave me a lot of confidence, and he was confident to put me out there. You know, somebody went down, and I think I moved up to that third player. I'm in the third corner, probably a little over halfway. You know, we had a tight race going into camp with all four of us. And I just felt like I was patient and did a great job in with being patient.
I think one of the questions people had about you is whether you could play as effectively on the perimeter as you do on the slot. Is it a thing where you're more comfortable in the slot, or do you think you could play equally well no matter where you're lined up?
Oh, no, I'm comfortable outside as well. Like okay. I said, going into camp, it was a four-way go. You know, it's my house, Sam and myself. And, you know, whoever going in is going to start outside. You know, I think we all did a great job. We all did a great job going into it to push each other. And I think that definitely helped us out at the back end. But I'm definitely confident that I can play outside. It's not even a question, can I do it? It just when my opportunity gets a chance to do it, I'll be great at it.
Sounds good.
I know my confidence, and I've done it before. As a rookie, I started 7 games outside. And you can look into that span. Those 7 games, I was only targeted maybe 6 times.
I like the attitude. What do you think it says that teams avoid you passing in your direction so often?
You could say that, or maybe I'm just in a good spot where they weren't going to the ball at the time. But I'm not going to, you know, say I'm this and that. But I am a confident guy, especially when I'm on that football field. I feel like I'm one of the better players out there. And my numbers show that. I don't get beat that much. I don't give up touchdowns. I don't get penalties. And I get a lot of interceptions.
Speaking of interceptions, I remember the 6 you intercepted in your rookie year. How many again in 2015?
I don't like putting numbers on anything, but you know it's a goal always. But I want to put numbers out in the air. But it's always a goal for me to hit a certain number. But right now, I'm not even worrying about that. I'm really worrying about just playing at a high level, you know, and making the team better. And if I can do that, my interception comes if I'm making the team better.
How about you personally? How have you been able to put the loss in that NFC Championship game behind you?
It's kind of tough going to, because I actually went out there for the Pro Bowl, you know what I'm saying, to see Sam Shields out there and the Pro Bowl. And that was one of the hardest times to actually, you know, to be out there, because you see all the Seahawks and Patriots stuff, and you actually know how close you were to being there. But I was ready to leave from out there because it was so much stuff. And I think it's going to make us better. Because as a team, we got a lot of the same pieces coming back. You know, mounted a couple of few players, but that's every year. But we got the best quarterback in the league coming back. We got some of the best defensive players coming back. Some of the best wide receivers, O-line. I just think we can make another run at it. But this offseason, when we get OTAs and camp, we're going to have to really be a team and grind together. And I'm take the next step to be there because we know how hard it is to get there.
Mm-hmm. The Packers have made some changes in the offseason here. I know Mike McCarthy has said he's going to take a bigger role coaching special teams this season. How do you expect the attitude towards special teams to change knowing the head coach is going to be more involved?
I think it's going to be around the same. Probably a little bit more seriousness in the while we watch the film and things like that. But I think overall, it's going to be the same because we got some great leaders that's going to be able to lead that special team. We got Jason Simmons and also Zook, you know, the head special team coach now. And we look up to those guys and we respect those guys. So we know what special teams takes a big role in this team. And we're going to have to find a way to be elite at special teams and not just average, but we need to be elite to help this team win. And like I said, I've seen where starters will play more on special teams, which I think that's good because we actually, defensive-wise, starters actually play a lot on special teams. So we'll see how that goes. But I think we'll be fine and be able to push each other and get better.
You talk to your teammate from Vanderbilt a lot, Sean Richardson. He's a restricted free agent. What's going to happen with him?
Man, I hope he's back. I hope he's back. That's one of my best friends, not just on the team, but just in general. Like, that was one of the first people I met going into Vanderbilt, and we've just been, really close since then. And I just hope he's back. Like I said, I talked to him the other day. He said he hopes he's back with us, and we'll see. I'm not sure if they're going to tend to him or sign him, but I hope he gets signed because he's a great player, and hopefully it'll help his family out.
Thank you, Casey, for taking the time. Just one last question before you go. I know you're going to do the tailgate tour this year. Are you excited to meet Packers fans across the state in the month of April?
I am. I know some of those guys come up to the camp, and we don't get to really interact like that with some of the fans. So you only see faces briefly as you ride the bike and go by. But I'm definitely excited to do that thing with Corliss and Micah. And I think it's going to be a great time. Hopefully I can meet a lot of people. I hope a lot of people come out, show their faces, and we have a great time.
Very cool. Well, Casey, we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us Packer fans on the show this morning and wish you all the best of luck in 2015.
Oh, man, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Take care. Packers cornerback Casey Hayward joining us here on the show this morning at Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central, celebrating our 500th episode. Thanks to him. Thanks to you, the listener, for joining us as well, as I usually say. But now it's time for
The Day Ahead
in the world of the Green Bay Packers on a Monday morning. This is the final day for exclusive signing rights for the Green Bay Packers. Starting tomorrow, starting Tuesday, these pending free agents have been able to negotiate with any team since Saturday, but the Packers have exclusive signing rights up until 3 p.m. Central Time tomorrow. So, of course, the question is, what's going to happen next? Particularly guys like Brian Bulaga and Devon House, are they going to stay? Are they going to go? My prediction is that Brian Bulaga is going to be back. I don't know if a deal is going to get done today. It's really immaterial when it gets done, just as long as it does. Maybe if he even reaches free agency and ends up re-signing with the Packers or whatever. As I alluded to earlier, Devon House is the more difficult one to project. I really don't know what's going to happen there. I think Tremont Williams is gone. I love Tremont Williams. I think he's done a great job for the Packers over the years. I just think at 32 years old, the Packers aren't really ready to commit to him long term. Said before, Tremont Williams might have another good year or two left in him. I don't think he has three or four left in him, and he's going to let a team that wants to pay him like he's going to be a good player for 3 or 4 years, they'll let that team pay him instead. the Packers, I think, would like to have Devon House back, of course, but I just don't know. I think there's a team out there that's going to be willing to pay him a pretty penny. Devon House could make somewhere in the range of $7 million a year, And the thing is that, you know, the Packers could get a very nice compensatory draft pick if they just let him walk. You know, I'm not sure how much money they'll have to pay Devon Hull $7 million a season. I'm not sure the Packers can match that. Not that they wouldn't want him back at a lower price. I'm just not sure they can. Again, when you consider that maybe next year they get a fourth or a fifth round draft choice in compensation in 2016, that's going to look pretty nice as well. So I'm really uncertain what's going to happen there. You know, forced to guess, I think Devon House is going to leave. But I'm not really, I don't say that with certainty or anything like that. But that's what we're looking forward to over the course of the next 24 hours. The Packers also have looming decisions to make here with their restricted free agents and their lone exclusive rights free agent. As we just talked about with Casey Hayward, Sean Richardson, his teammate at Vanderbilt, is one of them. The Packers have until the end of the league year here, the deadline, to tender or sign their restricted free agents or not. Joining Sean Richardson are wide receiver Jarrett Boykin and offensive lineman Don Barclay. So a decision's going to be made in the next day and a half or so. I mean, it could be made any moment here for all we know, but a decision will be made one way or the other, what the Packers decide to do with these guys. So that's coming down the pike here real soon. The futures of Boykin, Barclay, and Sean Richardson, and in addition, exclusive rights free agent Chris Banjo. He can only sign with the Packers in terms of there's a certain, you know, set dollar amount he can sign for. There's really no negotiating that takes place there. So they'll make a decision on him. But you know what? We went through our predictions the last episode of Railbird Central, forced to guess. I think Barclay and Richardson come back. I think the Packers tender them. Forced to guess, I think Jarrett Boykin is not tendered. Would it surprise me if he is? I suppose not, because it is just a one-year deal. These deals will be worth roughly $1.5 million. But so, I mean, for $1.5 million, it doesn't break the bank. But at the same time, the Packers just brought Randall Cobb back. Maybe the need at wide receiver is a little bit less now, or lessened at least, considering you've got Jeff Janis and Jared Abradaris in the back pocket. I think maybe Jarrett Boykin does not get tendered, but we'll find out for sure one way or the other pretty quickly what happens with these guys. But that's what I think is going to happen. So waiting to see on what happens with Brian Bulaga, Devon House. The word with Tremont Williams, several interested parties in him. Kind of interesting that they kind of all tied to free agent Byron Maxwell, his former team, the Seattle Seahawks, looking to replace him, and reportedly his new team. I've heard reports that Byron Maxwell has agreed to terms with the Philadelphia Eagles. They'll be looking for a teammate on the other side of him at the other cornerback position. Apparently, the Philadelphia Eagles also interested, reportedly, in Tremont Williams. We have details here at the Cheesehead TV blog on those items in our micro blog here, so check those out. But yeah, so two interested parties here, at least, that's been reported in Tremont Williams. I said before, he's 32 years old. I think the Packers take a pass here and Tremont Williams signs somewhere else. Interesting, I don't think he qualifies for a compensatory draft pick anymore. As we know, the NFL does not publish the rules or the formula of the compensatory draft pick. But as we've kind of deducted over the years, there is some sort of age component. It more or less applies to players entering free agency for the first time as opposed to a third or fourth time. There's some sort of age limit cutoff here that I don't think Tremont Williams will qualify for anymore. So if he happens to leave, even if Tremont Williams signs a decent deal, you know, the Packers may not get any, you know, draft pick compensation for him leaving. Regardless, I just think they move they take the choice to just move on, move ahead at the quarterback position. Whether Devon House re-signs with the Packers or not, at least the Packers were in pretty good shape with some depth at cornerback, because guys for certain under contract in 2015 are cornerback Sam Shields, Micah Hyde, Casey Hayward. You've got last year's draft choice, Dimitri Goodson. You have to imagine the Packers are looking at him to take a big step forward this upcoming season. And that's, you know, not to even mention the additions they'll make in this year's draft or this year's rookie class. Wouldn't surprise you at all if at some point during the NFL draft the Packers take a cornerback. You know, when exactly that happens, not sure. But at, you know, in terms of what round will they take a cornerback, you have no clue. I guarantee you if a guy like Trey Waynes of Michigan State were somehow to drop to the Packers all the way to the end of the first round, I don't anticipate that happening, but if it were to happen to, you just never know. He would be a pretty hard guy to pass up. Even if Devon House were to come back, it's tough to pass up a guy like Trey Waynes in the first round if you apply to the best player available philosophy. He very well could be the best available player should he drop to number 30 overall. Like I said, I don't see that happening, but it's, you know, perhaps possible that it will, and the Packers could go in that route. But, you know, at some point over the course of the draft, seven rounds, very soon here at the end of the month, we'll be figuring out the compensatory draft picks the Packers get this year. They're always handed out at the NFL's annual owners meeting. That takes place at the end of March. So in a few weeks here, we'll find out what the Packers will be getting for losing in free agency last year wide receiver James Jones and offensive lineman Evan Dietrich Smith. Those guys, the Packers will be getting comp picks for sure for those guys, and it's looking like they will be getting sixth round draft picks for each of them. So it all told, it looks like the Packers will have three draft picks in the sixth round this year. Very, you know, of course, better than nothing, right? Sixth round draft choice isn't a first round draft choice, but that's not something you pass up, though. If it's given to you, you take it, and the Packers will have a few extra draft choices that round. Still kind of waiting if the Packers could possibly get compensation for a player like either Marshall Newhouse or CJ Wilson. They're going to be kind of right at the edge there, whether the Packers could get possibly a third comp pick in the seventh round, if anything. They're right at that borderline, whether they even qualify or not, because they didn't sign contracts worth, I think both of them signed for south of $1 million. So they may not even qualify, but it is possible the Packers could get a seventh-round draft pick for a guy like Marshall Newhouse, something like that. Again, we find out more at the end of the month, you know, the month of March here, whether that Packers could get that extra little toy at the end of the seventh round. Those are always a good thing, too. It's basically, you know, all of a sudden, at the end of the NFL draft, then there's the, you know, college free agency in which you're competing against all 31 other NFL teams to sign the guys who went undrafted. And, you know, every year the Packers sign about, every team in the NFL signs about 10, 12 players, college free agents, undrafted free agents. you know, all of a sudden, if you get an extra seventh round draft pick, that's one of those guys you don't have to compete against all 31 other teams to sign. That's why you like that. It's like, we know we can get this guy. We just got to draft him. And then we don't have to worry about giving him a signing bonus that's worth more than another team to entice him to sign in Green Bay, things like that. So keep your fingers crossed that Marshall Newhouse was worth a compensatory draft pick. He's right at the cutoff point, and we'll be looking forward to finding that out in the next few days here. But that's going to do it for the 500th episode of Railbird Central. I want to, you know, send out some thank yous here. First and foremost, to Cheesehead TV's co-founders, Aaron Nagler and Corey Banky. Thanks to both of them for bringing me on at Cheesehead TV, first of all the help they've given me over the years, two great guys, and deserve the first thanks of the show for all they've done for me to get to this point, to 500 episodes. Thanks to Cheesehead TV's own Alex Talich and Jamie Snowden for all they've done for me, helping me out on the show, things like that. Promotion, you name it, just being sounding boards as well, and all they've done for the website and the show here, Railbird Central. Thanks to them. Special guests on the show, special mention to players like Tom Crabtree and Brett Goode, who have been weekly guests on the show over the years. Those were fun. It would be nice again to get a weekly player guest on during the season. Maybe I'll have to work on that here, getting a player to join us every week on the show. That was fun when we used to be able to talk to those guys. And our other, guests who've had regular engagements, Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com, Scott McKenna of the Talk and Smack blog, who joined me on a regular basis here on the show. Thanks to them. But that's not to leave out the hundreds of guests who have joined the show over the years. If I were to list them all, I'd leave somebody out. But thank you to everybody who's joined me here at Railbird Central. And most importantly here, you, the listeners. Without you, we never would have got to 500. And there's lots of you out there, some of our longtime listeners and active users in the chat room who've been with us for a long time. John, Kevin, Dre, Cheese Tradamus, Draft Hobbyist. I know I'm leaving some of you guys out. Alan Murphy, thank you for joining us gosh darn near every day or every episode. But if I didn't list you, it's not because I don't care about you. Thank you everybody for listening to Railbird Central. As I usually do, I want to leave you with a call to action. We here at Cheesehead TV have no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing, if you enjoy Railbird Central, please give us a rating on iTunes. It helps us get the word out, helps people looking for podcasts to listen to, shows that we have a following. We have a listenership, and that you might enjoy the show. So if you could do a small thing, go ahead and give us a rating on iTunes if you would. But thank you everybody so much for listening to us, listening to me every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time here at Cheesehead TV. That'll do it for today's show. We'll see you later, folks. Enjoy the start of free agency. It's going to get wild here real shortly. But I leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. And one last thank you to Psy Fidelity Records as they give me permission to use their record collection as our outro music on the show. I love their music, and hope you enjoyed this one. Golden Ghost. We'll see you later, folks. Go Pack Go.